Hello, and welcome to our program, the National Geographic Society, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Jim Cruz, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the National Geographic magazine and website here on OWL Radio. We begin the new year, 2022, with a short article by the CEO of the National Geographic Society. The photography of National Geographic is extraordinarily multifaceted, and therein lies its magic. A single image can spark our curiosity or influence our collective consciousness. I've known this since I was a little child in Iowa, leafing through the pages of National Geographic magazine in my elementary school's library. To this day, I vividly remember the impact of the iconic image of King Tutankhamun's funeraria mask on this March 1977 cover. It was a passport to an ancient dynasty, a visual journey of archaeological discovery that ignited my imagination. Photography was published in National Geographic for the first time in 1889, the year after the National Geographic Society and the magazine were created. It's been a tremendous honor to build on this legacy during my first year leading the society, a year in which enormous global changes defined a before and an after. Throughout, we supported National Geographic explorers and other journalists around the world whose photographs documented it all, creating an archive of history and human experiences as life fundamentally changed. Today, the Society is one of the largest funders of individual storytellers in the world. Our Year in Pictures issue celebrates honest, evocative images that transcend borders, stir our emotions, and galvanize change. Among them, Stephen Wilkes' Field of Flags, depicting the devastating toll of COVID-19. Bethany Mollenkopf's Portraits of Remembrance Ceremonies, capturing the haunting legacy of racial violence in America, and Thomas Peshack's Scenes of Antarctic Sea Life, spotlighting what's at stake for our planet. At the Society, we're guided by our mission, to illuminate and protect the wonder of our world. We do that by investing in and supporting talented scientists, storytellers, educators from more than 140 nations. They're advancing knowledge and protecting wildlife and wild places. They're documenting urgent threats to our planet and empowering the next generation to help solve problems. We have a clear vision to drive significant impact, and explorers are the key. The Society's new strategic plan, NG Next, doubles down on our commitment to explorers and explorer-led programs focused on five areas: land, ocean, wildlife, human history and cultures, and human ingenuity. The plan strengthens our investments in the tools of exploration, such as photography, and guides us in bringing together explorers, partners, donors, and others dedicated to our mission of changing the world for the better. A single image, whether it's the likeness of an ancient pharaoh or a Gentoo penguin in a melting Antarctica, can make a lasting impression. It can spur change and even shape history. National Geographic stands ready to record Earth's inspiring scenes for another one and a third centuries and beyond. Jill Tiffenhaller, CEO, National Geographic Society. The year in discovery, 2021, brought important revelations and historic advances in human knowledge from the microscopic to the cosmic, by Maya V. Haas and Jason Treat. Number one, million-year-old mammoth DNA. Two mammoth molars, more than a million years old, yielded the oldest DNA ever sequenced. The discovery hints that with the right conditions, DNA could help scientists unlock evolutionary secrets even further in the past. Luxor's Lost City. 3,400-year-old metropolis built by Tutankhamun's grandfather was hidden for millennia by Egyptian sands. Found west of modern Luxor, the warren of buildings gives a glimpse into ancient Egyptians' lives at the height of the empire's wealth and power. Understanding the Red Planet. Two robotic explorers touch down on Mars's rusty red surface. NASA's Perseverance rover and China's Zhurong rover both have a lofty goal of searching for hints of past life on Mars. Zhurong marks China's first landing on another planet. Perseverance achieved other firsts. On April 19th, the rover's onboard helicopter briefly hovered over Mars's surface, logging humankind's first powered, controlled flight on another planet. The next day, rover instruments converted some of Mars' carbon dioxide-rich atmosphere into oxygen, the first that could lead to the creation of rocket fuel or breathable air for future astronauts. Then in September, Perseverance collected the first sample of Mars to be returned to Earth for study, which Los Alamos National Laboratory planetary scientist Nina Lotenza says will change everything for Mars science. Falling out our family tree. Two fossil discoveries added more kinks in the tangled branches of our human family. One's a stunningly well-preserved skull, hidden for nearly 90 years in an abandoned well in China, whose mashup of ancient and modern features suggests it's more closely related to modern humans than even Neanderthals. Some researchers say the skull may be from a new human species, one they dubbed Homo longi, or the Dragon Man. Similarly, skull and jaw fragments found in Israel presented scientists with a confusing mix of features. New species or not, both finds show a surprisingly diversity in our ancient kin. The complete human genome. Scientists made waves in 2001 with the first draft sequence of the human genome. Headlines celebrating the complete human genome were premature. Despite years of additional work, some 8% was still missing. Until May 2021, when 99 researchers revealed that what they called the first truly complete sequence of a human genome, spanning 3.055 billion base pairs across 23 chromosomes. The study, which was posted before peer review, adds nearly 200 million base pairs and multiple corrections to prior sequencing efforts. But more work remains. Scientists have yet to sequence the Y chromosome. Malaria vaccine victory. The World Health Organization endorsed the first malaria vaccine, launching a widespread rollout of the life-saving shots. With a 12-month efficacy of 56%, in clinical trials, the Mosquitrix vaccine won't replace other prevention methods, but it's a valuable tool in fighting the disease. And finally, cosmic collisions. A billion years ago, a black hole smashed into a dead star, and in January 2020, scientists finally caught it in action. 10 days later, another clash was detected elsewhere in space. Each cosmic collision, reported last June in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, sent out ripples in the fabric of space-time. The study of these gravitational waves is still in its infancy. The collisions suggest there's plenty more to see. 2021, it began with a surge of optimism, the year of hope and vaccines. But then violent conflicts, a new wave of the virus, and deadly reminders of the climate crisis made it clear that it would be a year when we'd need to say, stay strong. First picture is the Washington Monument, Washington, D.C. Planted on parkland around the Washington Monument, small white flags were both tributes to and symbols of each life lost to COVID-19 in the United States. Artist Suzanne Brennan Furstenberg devised the installation to express the enormity of the national death toll, and also the pain of individual deaths as mourners decorated flags with loved ones' names and photos. During the roughly 3 weeks that the installation was in place, the U.S. passed a grim milestone, 700,000 COVID fatalities. In July 2021, the Indonesian photojournalist Muhammad Fadli drove with his cameras to a cemetery on the Jakarta outskirts and understood again and more profoundly how wrong he had been. Over a stretch of weeks during March and April, Fadli had let himself believe that life as he knew it was righting itself. He saw a nationwide inoculation campaign, markets starting to bustle again, malls opening. But no, it was like that lull in the horror movies, the brief fake serenity before the thing roars up again. Now in this new burial area, one of six commissioned when the pandemic filled the city's main public cemetery, earth-moving machinery was clearing more ground even as mourners bent over fresh graves. At the entrance gate, fondly noted, hearses pulled up every few minutes to deliver the dead. Frequently they converged and had to wait in line for their turn. When drivers swung open their rear doors, Fodley realized that many of the hearses held more than one casket. Some were carrying as many as four. And as both of us paused to picture our phone conversation momentarily fell silent. I was at home in California, where five northern counties were aflame, and a separate 220,000-acre fire still was advancing towards South Lake Tahoe. Fodley was in Indonesia, where, over the summer, the daily COVID-19 infection rate had surged past India's. He said, "My brother-in-law, my father-in-law, COVID, my sister-in-law, hospitalized for almost 15 days. And everyone survived, because they were lucky, and probably because they managed to receive first vaccine doses before they fell ill. The Delta variant crushed India and Indonesia as it rampaged across continents this past year. A dispatch from Jakarta reported 114 Indonesian doctors killed by COVID-19 in 1 2.5-week period." Documenting the year inevitably pulled Fodley into scenes of anguish, despair, and loss. But he also made pictures in places where he chose to see hope in the ferocity of human resolve. A city bus station repurposed as a mass vaccination site, crowded to the walls with Indonesians determined to get their shots. A classroom of mass-faced children, respectfully dressed in necktie or hijab. Their teacher amid the wooden desks with her arms full of schoolwork. Her masked smile shows in her eyes. This is the second time that National Geographic has dedicated its January issue to photographers' impressions from the just-concluded year. In January 2021, the magazine published a visual distillation of the previous 12 months' agitation and grief. Back then, it was a relief simply to be done with that harrowing year, as editor-in-chief Susan Goldberg wrote in the issue, using language more dignified than dumpster fire, which was a favored descriptor for 2020 where I live. The coming year seemed to hold so much possibility. The fastest new vaccine development in history, the most ambitious global inoculation plans in history, an international consensus that healthcare workers and elderly must be first on the priority list for protection. For many Americans, that anticipation of 2021's emotional respite endured for a week, 6 days technically. In the section of this issue labeled Conflict, you'll see Mel D. Cole's shoving melee photograph of January 6th, as we now tend to refer to the violent breach of the U.S. Capitol by a mob protesting the 2020 election results that turned President Donald J. Trump out of office. As editors sifted through thousands of photographs from National Geographic's 2021, they found their themes and alliteration. COVID fills another section, as do climate and conservation. There's no abundance of respite in those pictures, to be sure. There is beauty, resolve, hope. Muhammad Fodley likes to say, ordinary people trying to help others. Lone man in mask and gown, standing above a wooded green valley, is Nazir Ahmed. He's a healthcare worker in the Indian territory of Jammu and Kashmir, looking for isolated shepherds to vaccinate against COVID-19. A woman cradling a baby alpaca is Alina Cirsis Gomez. She works for a Peruvian breeders cooperative advising traditional alpaqueros whose Andean water and grazing lands are menaced by mining pollution and climate change. The Kenyan gently laying a gloved hand on a cheetah's flank is a veterinarian named Michael Noroge. He and the two wildlife specialists with him were part of a five-day effort involving truck transport and IV hookups and surgeons to keep a wounded wild animal alive. If you saw the August story in National Geographic's digital platform, which is documented by Nairobi-based photographer Nicole Sobecki, you already know it is cause for turbulence and of the heart. So much intention, so much kindness. Sobecki had been working for months with Rachel Bale, the magazine's animals editor, on their September article about an international animal smuggling network preying upon Africa's threatened cheetah population. Then a Kenyan guide, with Sobecki along, found an injured adult cheetah amid the brush of the National Reserve. For 48 hours, the two of them watched over the cheetah while waiting for the Kenya Wildlife Service veterinary team, alerted by local rangers. "One cheetah is in one part of the world," Sobecki said and sighed. On a call between Nairobi and Oakland, California, she and I were trying to figure out how we felt about the push to revive the wounded female, which the rangers had decided to name Nicole. Uplifting and futile, both words apply. Nicole, the cheetah, did not survive. Her injuries appear to have been caused by another animal, not by a human hunter or smuggler. But Nicole, the photographer, has been documenting vanishing animal habitats and the climate crisis's toll on Africa. And she was having a hard time disentangling one kind of sorrow from another. Sobecki says, "There was a will to try to save that cheetah. The efforts were ambitious and sweeping. I don't want to minimize it." If events had transpired differently, though, if the Wildlife Service vet had not been off duty the day they found the cheetah, or the substitute team had arrived more quickly, if human behavior hadn't cost cheetahs more than 90% of their historic range, yes, you could make the case that this particular cheetah was perhaps meant to have expired alone, under a bush, undisturbed by probing hands. But sometimes we fasten on small stories to help us hold bigger ones in our heads. Sobecki said, "Everybody grows up knowing about cheetahs. What about the countless other species that are facing that same issue? If we can allow one of our most celebrated animals to reach a place where there are fewer than 7,000 adults left in the wild, what about everything else?" Everything else. No easy delineation separates the images of this year. In 2021, the triumph of COVID-19 vaccine development set off its own discord. Who knew we would summon such rage over injections to protect us from death? Nearly every attempt at conservation of species, economies, of spots on Earth took place against the existential backdrop of climate change. On August 9th, when the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a 2,000-page compilation of bleak assessments and predictions, its sixth such report in the past two decades. One was described by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres as a code red for humanity. Less than a week after the report's release, the 220,000-acre Caldor wildfire here in California ignited and spread through drought-parched foothills, where firefighting crews farther north in the state were still exhausting themselves working another megafire named Dixie. The Dixie wildfire was the second largest in California history, not fully contained until the end of October. London-based photographer Lindsay Adario has devoted much of her career to capturing images of conflict. These pages include her devastating portrait from Ethiopia of a survivor of repeated rape by soldiers. Adario's 2021 summer was spent in California, alongside men and women battling fire. This was the year of Texas's deep freeze in February, Canada's highest temperatures in recorded history in June, Germany and Belgium's lethal flash flooding in July. Global weirding is the term Texas Tech University climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe likes to use in the issue's conversation with National Geographic's Robert Kunzig and Alejandro Borunda, and environmental author Catherine Wilkinson. Yes, that's two Catherines, both exhorting us to refuse despair and to allow ourselves the possibility, as Wilkinson says, that the present moment might be both a horrifying and magnificent time to be alive on the planet. She insists we have so much power. There's so much that we can do to combat climate change. As you examine these photos, maybe consider some of the 2021 headlines that did deliver on emotional respite, or at least one genuine moment of, okay, breathe, managed to make it through that. The New Orleans levees held, remember? The Caldor fire turned away without reaching South Lake Tahoe. Until and despite the whack of the Delta variant, millions of us were able to return to the physical company of others, embracing, kissing grandparents, watching children go back to school. The following pages, Howard University graduates singing and dancing as they stroll together in robes and mortar boards, haul up my spirits every time I look at them. So do the shining South Texas teenage mariachis, buttoned and laced in their new charro pants and suits, riding the bus to performances for the first time since the start of the pandemic. Baby elephant sucking down bottled formula, conservation meets COVID with a surprise happy ending in a Kenyan sanctuary that houses the elephants. Pandemic shipping bottlenecks blocked the powdered milk supply, so the caretakers tried substituting locally available goat milk, and the new formula doubled the orphaned baby elephant survival rate to almost 100%. Even a whole year in pictures issues contains a finite number of pages, of course, an arbitrary partial list of notable people, places, things from 2021 that are not found in these images. The Tokyo Olympics, private space launches, the sideways wedged cargo ship blocking the Suez Canal, the inauguration of the first Black, Asian American, and female U.S. vice president, the presidential assassination and catastrophic earthquake in Haiti, the Perseverance rover rock boring into Mars, the July 4 week at Massachusetts Cape Cod when tens of thousands packed the bars and restaurants of Provincetown, spilling out into the streets because so many vacationers thought vaccination had finally made it safe. The Provincetown revelry was referred to in the dry phrasing of the ensuing Centers for Disease Control and Prevention alert as, quote, large public gatherings in a town in Barnstable County, Massachusetts. For those of us who never had occasion to learn what breakthrough infections were, now we knew. Vaccinated people who traveled home from Provincetown were testing positive for COVID-19. Multi-state tracing found only 5 hospitalizations among the 469 reported cases and no deaths. So yes, the vaccine protects. It doesn't entirely prevent transmission, though, meaning no relaxing of our collective vigilance. Not yet, at least. The pandemic isn't going anywhere, Provincetown restaurant owner Rob Anderson said when I called in August to ask how he and others were managing. But we're not going anywhere either. We're stronger than that. We're still standing. Like others in town, Anderson watched his business crater in the weeks after the Provincetown breakthrough news. And he suggested I consider the way a tightrope walker reaches the end of each rope. What do? You look ahead. You stay balanced. So that's what we do. This was stayed with me, the tightrope walker. I was thinking about it, how hard 2021 has made us work, sometimes just trying to remain upright, when I called photographer Stephen Wilkes, who, as we spoke, was shooting the fold-out panoramic image that precedes this article. He was 45 feet in the air, photographing from an elevated lift that his crew had been allowed to wheel onto the National Mall in Washington, D.C. When making what Wilkes calls his day-to-night pictures, he works around the clock, making and taking multiple photos, later merging them into one sweeping image. For this particular day tonight, he focused for 30 hours on the installation spread across 20 acres at the base of the Washington Monument, white flags each representing a COVID death in the United States. Wilkes said, "A sea of flags." Then he corrected himself. "Wait," Wilkes says, "not exactly a sea. Because at the height I'm at, I can see them almost as individuals. They remind me of flickering stars." The artist, Suzanne Brennan Furstenberg, designed the three-week installation as a giant grid with open paths to let people walk among the flags, write names on them to remember the dead, and plant new flags as the death toll continued to grow. A large sign at the entrance carried the latest national cumulative numbers, which Furstenberg was updating by hand every day. "When I came yesterday, it was 666,624. This afternoon, it's," he hesitates. I imagine him there on his platform, holding his camera, squinting at the distant number to read it off. 670,032. We did the math in our heads. "In the morning, there'd been rain," Wilkes said. "I see an older gentleman walking through the flags. I see a woman sitting on the ground, just planted a flag. She's African-American, has this light green shirt on. She's with, looks like her husband. They're holding hands." The afternoon light was doing something remarkable to the monument's shadowing. Wilkes said, "Luminous on one side, dark on the other. Beautiful. And it's starting to clear up. It's spectacular when the sun comes out because the white flags glow." The pandemic puts us on a roller coaster in 2021. New vaccines spurred optimism and reopenings. But immunization efforts were plagued by misinformation and shortages. As the rhythms of daily life return, the virus remains a threat. Opportunities lost. Well, thank you for listening to our first program of the National Geographic for the year 2021. You've been listening to the National Geographic here on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. Until next time, this is Jim Crew saying goodbye from Owl Radio.